Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm your host, Courtney Nordrum of the SECE and HCCA. I'm here today with Regina Gurvich and Gary Cantrell. Regina is the corporate director of New York City Health Hospitals in New York, and Gary works as the Deputy Inspector General for Investigations for the OIG HHS here in DC. Regina, we'll start with you. How did you get into compliance?
Many years ago, when I was reassessing what is it I want to do in life, I considered going to law school. I was fascinated with medical malpractice, the liability perspective of tort, but eventually found that medical malpractice lawsuits are very unproductive. Mm-hmm. They don't do good for patients. It's too late when you're suing somebody. And that's how I got into healthcare business in the first place. And happened to find my first job as compliance manager on a managed care side.
And from there, you've just moved up.
Many years later, I still enjoy what I do.
Glad to hear. Gary, what's your compliance story?
Well, working for the Inspector General's office since 1996. I started with the OIG right out of college. I was a criminal justice major, wanted to get into federal law enforcement, and found a home at HHS, and just have found the mission to be extremely rewarding and impactful. Healthcare fraud, unfortunately, has kept us very busy over those 20 years. It's changed a bit, but there's still quite a bit of focus from the IG's office on healthcare fraud, and so I've really found the career to be rewarding.
Like I mentioned earlier, we are live on site at the Compliance Institute. Regina and Gary are speaking at this year's Institute about enforcement trends and drug diversion. So why did you pick that topic?
For the OIG, Medicare prescription drug benefit, we're seeing $10 billion increases year over year in spending in Medicare. And the opioid spending in particular, 2015, Medicare spent $4 billion on commonly abused opioids. Now, clearly not all of those are inappropriate prescriptions, but we see a lot of fraud relating to prescription drug program at large, as well as the opioid problem. And the patient harm that exists in these opioid cases is tremendous. So it's an area that's extremely important to us. I think it's extremely important, obviously, to the American people. Opioid abuse is an epidemic, mm-hmm. and I think the OIG has a unique role to play in helping to curb this kind of abuse.
So when we're talking drug diversion, let's break it down for people who may not be necessarily familiar. So can you walk us through what drug diversion is and what the enforcement landscape looks like for it?
So drug diversion is mostly starting with an inappropriate prescription mm-hmm. for opioids that aren't medically necessary.
People doctor shopping?
It might be people doctor shopping, not online, but just individuals who are seeking these pain medications, finding a doctor who is willing to write prescriptions that aren't medically necessary,
okay.
and then taking that drug and either diverting it for recreational use or selling it on the street. Those are typical schemes in terms of opioid abuse.
I think of drug diversion as a larger issue, as healthcare corporations struggle with population health issues, connecting quality of care, but patient care, and addressing the nuance of prescriptions becomes more acute of an issue, and it does cover corporate compliance as an important control in assuring quality of care, appropriate billing, appropriate treatment, and documentation. I think also that drug diversion is very multifaceted. It covers our patients, sometimes it covers our clinicians, sometimes mm-hmm. it covers the communities we operate in. And it truly is an epidemic. It does not discriminate between low-level employee or physicians. As a matter of fact, we just discussed during the session that a large percentage of pharmacists, nurses, and MDs self-disclose to have some type of drug abuse issues. And the numbers are staggering if you think in terms of individual entity. It's a cultural phenomenon, and compliance officers are in a really good position to address the cultural issues, control issues, and quality of care issues.
In the Medicare space, 1 in 3 Medicare beneficiaries is receiving some type of opioid. And in some states—
Really?
Yes. In Alabama, 42% of the Medicare population has received some type of opioid. And that was in the calendar year 2015. So there are several states where the numbers are 40% versus the national average of 30%. So there are a lot of these commonly abused opioids being put out into the market, if you will. Not all are being abused. Some of them mm-hmm. are obviously legitimate prescriptions. But that number, 42%, that's alarming.
It is. If you could see my face right now, you would see how alarmed I am. That is such a large percentage of people getting opioid prescriptions. So what can the compliance officer in an individual hospital or an individual health system do to help combat something like that? Because when you think of it, that seems bigger. That seems systemic. What can compliance do to help combat something like that?
Compliance is in a unique position of, and it has ability to break the silos, connecting clinical and operational, translating it into financial liability and potential loss in terms of risk management. It's the position that general counsel or chief medical officer might lock the breadth of exposure and impact, and however small the compliance function might be in the institution, it is within the prescribed expectation of compliance program. Quality, care, efficiencies. How compliance officer can affect social determinants of healthcare, it is about a bit of a stretch, but making sure that internal operational areas such as HR or patient education connect the dots and focus on certain high vulnerabilities. I think compliance officers can do that and should do that.
From the enforcement perspective, what are you looking for health systems to do to help combat the drug diverge problems?
When you see it, report it. That's probably the first and foremost thing. In our session, we talked about some of the challenges of communication, communicating these types of issues, either peer-to-peer, provider-to-provider, managed care plan to managed care plan to government. The communication needs to exist. And when we identify prescribers or pharmacists or someone involved in the illegal prescribing of opioids, it needs to be reported. And the sooner we have some kind of intervention on the local level, on the administrative side, if you will, the fewer long-term criminal investigations that will have to that will result. Because we talked about the fact that a criminal investigation can take, on average, 2 years. Mm-hmm. That might not be the solution to stopping a problem when it's discovered. There might need to be some other intervention. And so I think compliance offices are in a position to identify these issues quickly, more quickly, and hopefully address them in a more real-time manner in some instances.
What are some of the best practices for the compliance officer in an organization to help avoid the drug diversion issues?
I think it's an evolving target. It changes year from year as the trends evolve, as people come up with new schemes of diversion. But generally, compliance officers do need to understand what they're looking at, look at various vulnerabilities, look at years of preceding audits and investigations and learning from regulatory enforcement, as well as be keenly aware of entity-specific vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. The other part of it is ongoing engagement of different level of employees in maybe smaller conversation, maybe off-the-record conversations where a compliance officer is actually in tune to what is happening in the facility.
If you see something, say something.
Yes, and you know, if you have a tool like a prescription drug monitoring program or e-prescribing, something that allows you to monitor this situation, utilize it. The rules and the laws regarding the use of a prescription drug monitoring program vary from state to state. It's one tool among others, but it's one tool that every office should be taking advantage of to make sure that the patients they're seeing are, you know, they can determine how much of these opioids they're getting from other providers, and hopefully avoid prescriptions that would be dangerous to that patient.
So you've mentioned opioids several times. Is that the main focus from enforcement?
In terms of the Medicare prescription drug program, it mm-hmm. is one of the most concerning areas, but it's okay. not the only focus. We see a lot of schemes that involve non-controlled substances that are billed and not dispensed, and because it's much, much more profitable. The pain meds isn't necessarily the profit center in terms of Medicare billing. It's billing for something like an HIV medication, not dispensing it, and then collecting the proceeds
from
getting reimbursed, and maybe getting reimbursed multiple times. We see schemes where they buy back the drugs from the patients, pay a kickback in essence to a patient who walks in the door, may even need the drugs, may not need the drugs, but in either situation, they'll buy them back and then bill multiple times for the same bottle of pills because it's so profitable.
What I'm hearing is that drug diversion is an intentional fraud. This is not something that is going to happen accidentally. No one's going to miss a number here or there, and it happens just by chance. So is training enough? As compliance officers, you're told train. Training is the best medicine. Audit and monitor, but training is the best way to prevent things. Is training enough if you have people who are just bound and determined to do the wrong thing?
I think there is no simple question. I think when we talk about diversion, we'll talk about extreme. And training could be take different forms. I think we need to concentrate on prevention. Whatever diversion is happening, it's too late. It will be case investigation, report, and resolution, but it's a prevention that we can refocus our efforts. And given rather skimpy budgets that compliance department have, we do have to be data educated and to be able to data mine proactively to identify the trends, to identify whether individuals or areas of vulnerability and provide that education as a targeted approach, not educating everybody on how bad it is to divert the medication, but proactively help clinician address the issues, provide them with tools to log in and validate prescriptions, track patients' history, and address patients who are drug-seeking patients and be comfortable having these conversations with patients safely in a safe and secure environment of the healthcare facility. So from compliance perspective, I would think of it more as a prevention and data-driven decision-making, vulnerabilities and priorities.
And I think in addition to training, connecting these patients with treatment options. We continue to deal with addiction in prescription drug space, but we've now seen as we take more of the prescription drugs out of the equation because of tighter controls, enforcement, just greater awareness across the country in terms of the dangers of opioid prescribing, patients are transitioning to heroin or other drugs they can get off the street more cheaply. And so the problem, we may solve the problem of our funding of certain opioids, inappropriate prescribing of opioids, but we have to focus our efforts on getting these patients into treatment to avoid the heroin overdoses that have unfortunately followed these prescription drug abuses and across the country. And Congress has acknowledged this need through additional funding in the last year for HHS to spend a lot more efforts on providing treatment services and counseling.
Really?
Yes.
That's good to know. I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule here at the Compliance Institute to sit down and chat with me about drug diversion.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Courtney.
Yeah.
Thank you.